almost already. Welcome back to Gumshoe Weekly,
the epicenter of murder, mystery, and mayhem. I don't have a funny one yet.
That's fine. Back to the roots.
It's very on brand for us today.
Yes. What's your name?
My name is Brianna.
My name is Jean.
Jean.
Gray.
Jean Belcher.
Jean Belcher? But with a J still. Please don't forget that it's a J, guys.
These are true. J-E-N-E.
It's like Jean Aiko.
Jenny Aiko. Jen Aiko.
Jen Aiko. How is it really Jenny Aiko?
Yeah.
Fuck. For Jenny real? Aiko. I thought her name was like Jean.
No, it's Jenny Aiko.
I thought it was a long J.
No.
Jean.
Jen Aiko.
That's crazy. Man, Big Sean ruined her though.
They're like still together.
I know.
They made a whole album. The album was fire.
Did you see the picture? Where everyone was retweeting it, and this guy was like, man, what is he doing to that girl? And no. It was them in a picture together, and she had her back turned, and her hair was a picture of him. Her hair.
Oh, no.
Like, the weave was perfectly made to be a physical fucking picture of this dude's face.
I've never seen
it. And
that.
He's, like, posing with it, and they were like, man, what is he doing to her? This is not normal.
No, I've never seen that. I think they're, like, they're, like, that toxic couple that's, like, too
Yes!
Long, and you're like, this is not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did she get a tattoo of him?
Girl, I bet.
Oh my god, she did.
Stop.
In beads. Oh no.
Oh, the hair. Yeah.
Oh no.
And they were like, what is he doing to her?
It's weird to think that he also, in the same sense, dated Ariana Grande.
Right?
Who is a literal child. I don't care what anybody says. She could be 40. She looks like she's 12.
Yeah, that's true.
She looks like she's 12. Wearing her grandmother's heels.
Every time she does a sex song, I'm like, oh, I don't know about
this. I don't like this.
I don't like this little kid singing about sex.
No. And I think it's literally just because she's kind of stuck in that role.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if she actually got a fucking tattoo of him. Oh, she did. And then she covered it up.
While they were dating?
I don't know. They've been on and off for too many fucking times.
Oh my god.
It looks like it was on the back of her elbow. Nope, couldn't be me.
Couldn't be me. Sorry, like that's anybody. Not my brand.
No. I don't like anybody that much.
I don't think anyone should.
I don't think so either.
Not of their face. A name? Maybe.
Even that, I'm like, ew.
Like, people who have the tattoo of their kids' names? That's cute.
Yeah, but you birthed that person.
Right.
You brought that person into the world.
Or, like, somebody, like, super important to you, I could get, but their face?
Yeah.
Their face?
No.
No excuse.
No excuse. I mean, my dad has a tattoo of his mom, but that's his mom.
It could break bad, though.
How? She Have died. You...
Well, first of all, he stole her soul in the tattoo, and that's why. No, because based on the tattoo artist, I'm not saying it could break bad that he got a tattoo of his mom. I'm saying you go in for this tattoo, they have great reference pictures.
Oh, yeah.
You get a fucking a doodle bob. And then you're like, oh, I gotta get this tattoo of my mom covered up. This looks nothing like her. And then it's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. It can go really bad really quickly.
That's the only reason where I'm just like, a picture of someone? No.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
That Big Sean one, though, was pretty good. It was accurate. I mean,
yeah.
Would I get it? No.
No. No.
I don't think anybody should.
No.
Especially, I feel like if you're in that industry, things can turn for you so quickly.
Yes.
So
tomorrow quickly. You wake up, Big Sean stole your whole record.
Yeah.
He stole your record label. He didn't even love you. It's a whole thing.
Well, I have a question.
Okay. I also have a question.
That wasn't the question segment? No, it wasn't, guys.
It wasn't. We were just giving you some background information on Big Sean and Gene Belcher.
Janine Aiko.
Janine Bill Belcher.
What's something you really resent paying for?
Any menstrual products.
100%.
Bottled water.
Yes.
Rent. I think these are all...
Well, yes.
These are all a human right.
Yes, these are facts. I agree with all of the above.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to add one.
Oh, okay. I like it.
And it's going to be when you go to a bank and you have to pay for your own money to come out. And I'm not talking about, like, your bank. Let's say you're in the middle of nowhere. I can't find a Chase anywhere. Mm-hmm. So now I have to go to this random-ass bank and take my own money out. And also have to pay them $3.
You don't get reimbursed?
No!
Oh, my bank reimburses.
I've literally never heard of that.
My bank reimburses it automatically. So I'll use, like, any ATM. I just use whatever one I see. And then it'll charge me, and then you'll see where it took it out and where it put it back.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I've never noticed that. If my bank
doesn't... Well, if it's for your bank might not do it.
Yeah. I have Chase. They do a lot of really good things. Apparently, just don't reimburse me.
I have PNC. They don't do a lot of good things, but they reimburse me. So.
But definitely 100% on the menstruation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And 100% on the bank stuff. And bottled water, you're right. Mm-hmm. Why? No. Why do I have to pay for this?
We wouldn't even be having the Flint, Michigan crisis.
No.
If bottled water was free.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
As this recording is coming out,
uh-huh.
Or as we're recording this, let's say that.
Yeah.
It's inauguration day.
It is inauguration day!
I also want to be realistic about it. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. Biden is not coming to save us. Or, like, I feel like a lot of people are like, oh my god, like, America is gonna be...
Yeah.
No, let's not do that. Because then that just leads us
to a bad place. I saw a really good post this morning, and they were like, we're changing the president, not the whole system.
Exactly.
They were like, so, this is a great time for us to all work together to get the changes we want.
Yeah.
Essentially. They were just like, don't... pin this all on, like, we got a new president, so now it's over. It's not. 100% it's not. And the shit that Trump did the whole time he was in office, it's gonna take Biden forever to undo all of it.
Yeah, 100%.
So.
I think we should still celebrate that, yes, we got him out.
It's amazing. 100% we should celebrate it.
I love the posts that I'm seeing that are like, oh, this is the last day we have... what was it? It was like the last day we've never had a woman vice president or something like that. Like, I think these are really great things. Let's not look past because they are still human.
Mm-hmm.
They still have very shady pasts as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're not perfect just because they are a woman and after Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But let's celebrate the good things too.
It's gonna, since he did, like, so many systematic changes, it's gonna be a really big, like, turnover, and also he's gonna get a lot of pushback, like, imagine that too. But one good thing, you know how they just said that Joe Biden picked Dr. Rachel Levine to be the head of the, how was
the
it?
The health one or something like that?
She's the Secretary of Health for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So she's going to be the Assistant Secretary for Health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. That's really big because, as you know, during the pandemic, Donald Trump rolled out that basically it's not illegal for doctors to discriminate against people based on their LGBTQ identity.
Ridiculous.
So they can refuse service to, like, trans people mm-hmm. and all of this stuff. So by appointing a trans person... That's, like, one tiny way to undo.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely think it's the right step in the right direction.
Everyone just needs to keep the energy they've had for the last year, except for the racist people. Go fuck off.
Yeah. 100%. I think I think what's coming from, you know, even the generations after us, like all those kids, I think we're setting ourselves up for something really good. And I think America is going to move in the right direction away from this stuff and, you know, kind of normalize a lot of the things that are normal to them. LGBTQ, you know, all of those kinds of different things that, you know, sorry, baby boomers or whatever your name are.
like, it is baby boomers.
Yeah, like that they've tried to normalize and tried to hold on. Like, we're like pushing that out. And I think that's really great. Now we just have to keep going. And
yeah, we just need to keep the energy, honestly. Yeah. Everyone needs to be as dedicated to it as we were throughout the whole year.
Yeah.
Especially with the Black Lives Matter protests. Like, this is where we can finally start getting, like, the results that we want.
Mm-hmm. I know there's definitely, like, a lot of pressure on Biden and Harris to be like, oh, we helped you, so now, you know, what's up?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've definitely seen a lot of posts like that. But I'm really hyped for this.
Yeah. It's going to be big.
It's going to be big.
It's going to be fucking sick.
There was one. Hold on. Oh, is it happy impeachment or merry impeachment? I don't want to offend anyone. Someone wrote treason's greetings or impeach Navidad. So, happy impeachment, guys, I guess.
Happy impeachment.
Happy inauguration.
We
can all breathe just the tiniest bit better.
Yes. I do have one question for you.
Okay.
If you were going to start a secret society, what kind of secret society would you start?
We did something like that before, but we said cults.
Oh, okay.
If
no.
We were going to do a cult.
Secret society is totally different.
It would probably be something with, like, books or movies or something like that, where it's just, like, you get the best ones.
I was going to say...
Know. Not very creative.
I would want to start one that was, like, hardcore, underground, kind of 007 program level of espionage and assassination.
Okay.
And government secrets. Like, that would be...
Like a, it would like be, a QAnon.
But... We would be... It would No, no, no. It would be like... Have you seen the movie Six Underground?
Mm-mm.
The premise is that Ryan Reynolds is a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Billionaire, I don't know. Because he did this invention forever ago. So he took all of his money and he collected these five people to be on a team. He legally died.
Legally.
And legally he made sure he died. And he made sure that all of those people died. And now he just does this research on these. He does like... government level secrets, espionage, all of that stuff. They do like super in-depth research on who their next targets are. And in the movie, there's this guy who's in charge of this country. There's a lot of bombings going on. They know that it's him, the president or whatever in that country. They know it's him doing the bombings and not preventing them. So they make a super in-depth plan to not only change the whole government, but also kill that guy.
Oh, okay. That is very involved.
So, yeah. But nobody ever knows that it was them.
Mm-hmm.
And they stay totally secretive about it. Same as, like, the 007, the 00 program, whereas the spies go out after they get all their intel, the spies go out and they just, like, kill people, do whatever they need to do.
That's pretty cool. Yes. I changed my answer then. I was just trying to be basic.
Oh, okay.
I think I would change mine to like a Robin Hood kind of sitch.
Oh, steal from the rich, give to the poor.
Exactly.
That would be fucking sick. That's like leverage.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
This is perfect. I love it. Okay.
Well, let's get into it.
Let's get started. We have to play rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot, scissor. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot, scissor.
Rock.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot, paper.
Scissors.
Fuck.
I keep getting you. Mine's is pretty dark and it's pretty long, so.
Do you want to go first then?
Wait, yeah, I guess.
Because mine is not dark and it's not long. So it might be a good way to end the episode.
Okay.
Also, this is, I think, the most streaks you've gone winning rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's just jump right into it.
Jump in.
Chad Daybell, a journalist from Utah, got married to his college sweetheart, Tammy Douglas, in March 1990. The young couple married in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Mm-hmm. In 2004, with a growing family, they started an independent publishing company, which they called Spring Creek Book Company. Their specialty, you ask? Hmm. End times fiction and other religious books.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's good.
Chad wrote over 25 doomsday prep books directed towards a Mormon audience. These end of times books included fantasies of a dystopian world brought on by bioterrorism attacks and catastrophic natural disasters. On October 9th, 2019, Tammy reported to police and Facebook, don't forget Facebook, mm-hmm. that while in her driveway, a masked man shot at her with what she believed to be a paintball gun that was defective. The Fremont County police officers did not find the perpetrator, and 10 days later, Tammy would be found dead in her home from alleged natural causes, dying in her sleep. According to Chad, she had gone to bed the night before with a terrible cough. No post-mortem or autopsy... No post-mortem or autopsy was performed at the time because Chad declined, not finding it necessary, and the county coroner, not finding any reason to overrule his decision, agreed. Between all that, Chad and his wife Tammy had moved to Arizona at some point in 2019.
Okay.
A few miles away, a woman by the name of Lori Vallow was working on her fourth marriage to her husband, Charlie Vallow, who had recently filed for divorce in February 2019 after she decided to disappear for 58 days with her daughter without a trace, leaving Charles and JJ abandoned, but not before basically ruining him financially. According to court documents, Charles claimed Lori believed she was a god preparing for Christ's second coming. He claimed Lori threatened to kill him if he got in her way, and when she had disappeared, $35,000 of the couple's money was transferred to an unknown bank account. She stole his clothes and belongings, along with their son's autism medicine and personal items.
My God.
His iPad, all that kind of stuff. Text messages between Charles and a friend read into some of the issues Charles was dealing with. I'm going to read some of those to you now.
Okay.
Charles, I truly feel there is no good ending for her. Emotionally, JJ is about 4. He will remember bits and pieces, but thankfully not the pain she's put a lot of people through for her mission from God. The friend replied, Charles, I appreciate you and trusting me with your heart's issues. You are safe here. I will continue to pray for you and your family. You have a friend here that you can truly trust. I have to go now, and I will keep you updated. Sleep well, my friend. Go with God. Another text message read from the friend. I still can't believe it. Charles said, 58 days. Believe it. The beautiful, sweet Lori you and I knew is gone. She actually believes I'm not Charles. She says I'm an evil spirit named Nick Schneider. She says an evil spirit named Nick Schneider murdered me and is using me to violate her and her family. Not kidding. Gotta get out of here. The friend, holy camel, I can't even relate. Friend, who the... I guess they changed some of the words in here. Who the fuck, I guess, is Nick Schneider? The last time I saw Lori, she couldn't say anything... And she couldn't say enough wonderful things about you. Charles also wrote another text that said, things have changed so dramatically in the past 6 months. Something snapped. It is so unbelievable and scary. I'm thankful she doesn't see JJ. She wants him and for me. She wants him and for me to disappear. Seriously, it's the freakiest thing I've ever experienced. She's with a group of people called Woke and Preparing a People. She actually believes I'm not Charles. She says I'm an evil spirit named Nick Schneider, murdered me and is using me to violate her. So I guess those were between two different friends. There was no names as to who the texts were to.
So they only have one kid.
They have two. We'll get into it.
Okay.
When Lori did finally reappear, the divorce filings were dropped. I couldn't get like a clear reading as to why they were dropped. I think some of it was like they were trying to reconcile and stuff like that. Lori had 3 children from her: Colby, from her second husband when she was 23 in 1996. In 2001, In 2001, she married her third husband, who adopted Colby, and they went on to have a daughter in 2002, named Tylee. In 2006, on the 24th of February, less than a year after her previous divorce, Lori married Charles in Las Vegas. Charles came into the marriage with two adult children of his own, and in 2013, they adopted Charles's sister's grandson, his grandnephew, Joshua Jackson, known as JJ.
Mm.
So after the adoption was complete, they moved to Kauai, Hawaii in 2014. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of jumping in times.
Right, okay.
So they both had three adult children, and then the two younger ones stood with them, which was Tylee and JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Around this time, in 2015, Lori became obsessed with reading the Standing in Holy Places series, written by one Chad Daybell. Just to bring it on back for you.
Mm-hmm.
These books are fictional series about different exciting prophesized events that still might occur before the second coming.
Hmm.
Friends commented that Lori became really obsessed with the books, even buying the series for them.
Oh.
Yeah. So her obsession probably peaked in 2018 when she ended up having her favorite author, Mr. Chad Daybell, on her podcast called Time to Warrior Up, which seemed a little at first unclear if she started with her friend, but she was definitely cited as like a host on some of the episodes, especially the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So I think her and her friend created this podcast. The friends had met Chad after attending a Preparing a People conference in October 2018. And that was where she started contributing to the cause with the podcast content and friendship with Chad.
Mm-hmm.
So A Time to Warrior Up is described as a nationwide movement to become all that you are destined to become in a shifting world that needs great leaders. Led by women of faith and courage, Melanie Gibbs and Lori Vallow, two friends who decided to start the podcast to spread this message. So the first known connection with Chad was Chad appearing on Lori's podcast. And the two did go on to appear in other Preparing a People podcasts. Mm. So it was like a little group, and they all like a tree trunk.
Like a tree.
At this point, June 2019, Lori moves into a rental house in Chandler, Arizona, with a failing marriage, where she is living with JJ and Tylee. Charles comes over to pick up JJ. A fight broke out between Lori's brother Alex Cox and Charles, and he fatally shoots Charles in the chest twice.
Oh my God.
Claiming self-defense, and doesn't get charged even after contradicting interviews between everyone there, including Tylee. The cop said that it was the weirdest drive he's ever had in his career, driving them to the police station to get their statements. He said that Lori was like super aloof, like, oh, like he was like, it almost to him, it seemed like they were almost just going to pick up their car that got stolen. Tylee, the way that she was talking was like, it was given to her to talk like this. Like, this is what you're going to say.
Oh.
That kind of thing. So even after all that, he wasn't charged. So after Charles's murder, Larry and Kay Woodcock, Charles's sister and brother-in-law, the actual grandparents of JJ, are trying to keep ties with JJ strong because their only link to JJ was technically Charles.
Mm-hmm.
They reach out numerous times explaining no ulterior motives. They just wanted to see JJ, their biological grandson. And the last contact was in August 2019 in a 35-second FaceTime call before it was ended. Lori and the two kids moved to Rexburg, Idaho at the beginning of September 2019 for reasons unclear. They think that they were kicked out because the landlord was like, a dude died here. You gotta go.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was probably because of the shooting. Who knows? Tylee was originally going to stay with friends back in Arizona, but her friend said that she was really protective of her little brother, so she went with them.
Mm-hmm.
Lori decided to homeschool JJ and pulled him out of school, and sometimes would have a babysitter over who noticed the weird dynamic of the family. Tylee seemed to come and go for visits only, even though she was about 16. Mm-hmm. And JJ and Lori are the only ones who live there. She noticed that JJ had a room full of toys but no bed to sleep on in the room, in the bedroom. That he had like a little cot that was pushed up into a corner in Lori's bedroom.
Oh.
Yeah.
How old was he?
7. I don't know if it was because he was on the spectrum and that was the only way to get him to sleep. I don't really know.
Or because he saw his, like, father figure die. I don't know.
He seemed none the wiser. It seemed, it, from what it looked like and some of the stuff that I was listening to, was that he wasn't there. There was no real clear indication as to where he was. There was also one part that said there was a pool party happening when all that went down. It was very, like, a lot of the information was... Like, if I didn't see it in multiple places, I didn't add it.
Mm-hmm. Was he verbal or nonverbal?
Verbal.
Okay.
But he was 7, and Charles was like, he's, you know, he has the mindset of a 4-year-old, so.
Yeah.
4-year-olds are verbal, they're just, anyway.
Even getting a 7-year-old to understand death is.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Yeah. So, yeah, this babysitter noticed, like, a lot of weird stuff going on. On September 24th, oh, and Lori had told the babysitter that her husband had died from a heart attack.
Yeah.
And that was why she moved.
That's funny.
It seemed like Lori was giving a lot of different people a lot of different information as to what happened to Charles,
mm-hmm.
even though she was there when it happened.
She saw it happen.
Yeah. Like, his older kids were like, hey, what, she just texted them, hey, your dad died. We don't know what happened to him. We're waiting for the medical examiner. And they're like, hey, it's 4 days later. What the fuck is going on? And they're like, you know, you can't just text it away. Like, hey, dad died. It's super chill. So she's a very aloof person. Like, mm-hmm. whatever.
And she's a god.
She's going to save the people.
Okay.
So on September 24th, the babysitter who believed she would be this would be, like, an ongoing gig, came to the house and was told JJ went to stay with his grandparents in Hawaii. And her services were no longer needed. That was the end of that. November, Lori brings home her new husband, Mr. Chad Daybell.
Oh, my God.
Whose wife just recently died, mind you. When they were, when and where they got married, nobody knows. A wedding ring was purchased on Amazon from Charles, Lori's ex-husband, now dead, his Amazon account, on October 2nd, 2019, for $35.99. A charge was made, and it was for a ring.
And when had she died?
Tammy died 17 days before. The Woodcocks, JJ's biological grandparents, are continuing to raise concerns and beg the police to go to Lori's home and conduct a welfare check because they haven't heard from JJ in months. Remember, last time they talked to him, I believe, was August. It's now October. Once there, the police are told that he is staying with relatives in Arizona. Mm.
Who?
JJ.
I know, but who in Arizona?
Relatives. It was believed that they were staying with Melanie Gibbs, which was... if I don't have this wrong, Melanie Gibbs was Lori's niece who she brought into the church.
Oh, no.
But Melanie, I think, moved to where they moved. It was the clusterfuck. So, yeah. The police are told that he's staying with relatives in Arizona. They check it out. They learn that it's false and go back to the home the next day with a search warrant only to find an empty house.
Oh my God.
With the couple now MIA, the police decide they need to look a little further into all these mysterious deaths surrounding this missing family. They decide to first exhume Tammy, Chad's first wife, who died only 2 months prior, and submit it for autopsy. And the day after this decision for Tammy is made, Alex, Lori's brother, is found unresponsive in his home in Arizona. Throughout all of my research, it really sounded like Alex was Lori's, like, henchman.
And she killed him.
Maybe. His cause of death still remains unknown.
What?
And on December 20th, 2019, the Rexburg Police Department publicly announces their investigation into the disappearance of Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow and asks for public assistance in finding them. In a news release, the police say Chad and Lori are not cooperating and that the children's disappearance may be tied to Tammy's suspicious death.
Ooh.
Still missing, the couple hire Sean Barthlick, an attorney, to represent them, and he issues a statement on behalf of them, denying any wrongdoing. The statement read, this is a little snippet, Chad Daybell was a loving husband and has the support of his children in this matter. Mind you, he had 5 kids already.
Yeah.
Lori Daybell is a devoted Lori Daybell is a devoted mother and resents assertions to the contrary. We look forward to addressing the allegations once they have moved beyond speculation and rumor.
Wow.
Yeah. On January 3rd, 2020, law enforcement from the Fremont County Sheriff's Office, the Rexburg Police Department, and the FBI search Chad and Tammy's former home. Police collect more than 43 items from the home, including computers, cell phones, journals, documents, and medication.
Oh, so they left their stuff there.
In Chad's old house.
Because
Chad went to go technically live with Lori,
mm-hmm.
and Chad's house was still there.
Okay.
Finally, after many pleas from the family to the couple to just tell them where Tylee and JJ were, on January 25th, 2020, the couple was found vacationing in Kauai, Hawaii, without the missing children.
Oh.
They were staying in a luxurious condo in Kulani of Princeville, townhouses, $6,150 per month. That was the rent for 1 month.
I could never.
I definitely could never.
I'd get a tattoo of Big Sean before I could that.
I'd get some beads in my hair that look like Big Sean.
Yeah.
The police search the unit and find no trace of the kids ever being there. The condo had a second bedroom, but it looked as if no one was staying in it. The couple had been there since mid-December. It's now January. They did, however, find Tylee's phone. She's 16. What 16-year-old doesn't have their phone?
Exactly.
Which is odd, seeing that she had been texting back and forth with her older brother, Colby.
Oh my god.
Who did mention that the text did not at all sound like his sister, who usually uses emojis.
Mm-hmm.
Lori was given, he also said that he kept asking her to call him. Like, yeah. Hey, just call me, I want to know that you're okay. And she just kept being like, oh, I'm busy, sorry, I was really busy this week, like, I'll call you, but she wouldn't call.
Oh my god.
Lori was given a court order to physically produce the kids by January 30th to a judge in Rexburg, Idaho. And on January 30th, it comes, and Lori fails to comply with the court order. She was given the order on the 26th. She had plenty of time to find these kids.
Mm-hmm.
In February, a storage locker rented by Lori is found. She rented it out in October 2019, and it turned up surveillance of Lori, her brother Alex, and Chad repeatedly visiting the unit.
Oh, no.
Which was found to contain items belonging to or related to her children, such as clothing, bikes, and photographs. A lot of the video footage shows her and her brother Alex Cox moving items in and out of the locker on multiple occasions since October.
What kind of items did it show?
Mostly clothes and bikes and, like, kids' things.
Mm-hmm.
Lori is arrested and taken into custody by Kauai police with a bond of $5 million with extradition to Idaho pending. During her first trial there, she asked that her bail be set lower because her charges were all misdemeanors, which included 2 felony counts of desertion and non-support of dependent children. Her request was denied.
Good.
And she was sent back to Idaho to face her charges, where her bail was lowered down to $1 million. On February 24th, new evidence released shows Tylee accompanying her family on a trip to Yellowstone Park surveillance. And the videos show that they went sometime in September. This is the last time she was seen, and a week later, in September, JJ was last seen on a doorbell surveillance video. Yeah. On June 9th, 2020, the Rexburg Police Department, assisted by the Fremont County Sheriff's Department and the FBI, execute a search warrant at Chad Daybell's home, where they did discover a set of human remains. Daybell was booked into jail later that day on obstruction or concealment of evidence, and the next day, June 10th, 2020, his bail was set at $1 million. On July 2nd, prosecutors dropped two charges against Lori Daybell, two felony counts of desertion and non-support of dependent children, and instead charged her with obstruction of concealment of evidence. The remains were positively identified as 16-year-old Tylee Ashlyn Ryan and 7-year-old Joshua Jackson Vallow.
Oh.
Yeah. On July 17th, 2020, in light of the two felony counts against Lori Daybell being dropped, her bond was lowered, and Judge Mallard, who was taking care, was doing the case, decided to decrease the bond to $50,000.
Why?
On each charge totaling $150,000, but noted Daybell would still need to post $1 million in neighboring Fremont County to get out of jail. In addition to the bond reduction, a jury trial for the Madison County charges against Lori Vallow was set for January 25th to the 29th of 2021. So this week is when she'll find out what's going to happen to her.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. This week? No. Yeah, this week. Sorry, I had to look at the calendar.
So he's still in jail.
He's still in jail. I didn't see anything about his court case. But since the children have been found, they have shifted the focus to find out what exactly happened to these kids.
But they don't know yet.
Nobody knows. They just found them. I didn't see anything about if there was anything like strangulation marks or anything like that. But, yeah, so we'll find out sometime this week when this is being recorded.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
That means we can have an update in the near future.
We can have an update in the near future. This chick was just batshit crazy.
Clearly.
But she wasn't always like that. Like, her son, Colby, who is a functioning adult, he has a family of his own, he was, like, pleading. He's like, I just don't understand. She found a doomsday cult. And that's where it all went to shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So,
the thing is, she didn't even want JJ. She could have easily given JJ right back to his grandparents.
Yeah, that's... I think it's a, if I can't have you.
But she was quoted as saying to one of her friends, like, with everything going on, like the doomsday and stuff like that, sometimes it's just so much that I just want to just put my kids in a car and drive off a cliff. So then fucking kill yourself. Don't kill your kids.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just wanted to say, cite myself real quick. I got all my information. I got the story from Cracked. I got my other, like, the timeline from insider.com and then analytics.com, which was a website created by Tylee's biological father.
Oh.
His sister.
Okay.
And she made a lot of really good points. She was like, when I visited them in 2018, like, family was in and out of the house every day. How do these kids go missing for 2 months? Nobody hears anything from them. And now... they're missing. Like, nobody's known that they've been missing for so long. That's a little ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Which is, but you also have to look at it from, like, the kind of mom that she was. It really did seem like she was kind of just pushing everyone away.
Yeah.
If they didn't believe in what she believed in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to just, you know.
Yeah.
We've all seen those kinds of people.
Oh, yeah. Just so you know, their bond, their bail would have been... So for her, you said it was 500,000?
50,000 each charge.
So they would have had to put up $15,000 to get her out. Mm-hmm. And they would have had to put up...
But they still would have had to put up another million for the next county over, I believe, is what they said.
So for the million, they would have had to still put up $100,000. So that bitch ain't coming out.
Mm-mm.
The fuck... Okay, so last year sometime, I purchased this weird magazine. I saw it online at checkout. It was like $15.
Oh my god.
It was this National Geographic Science of the Supernatural. It was this magazine.
Okay.
Because I flipped through it and I was like, this will be good for stories. It is. And it's where I got my story from today. Or at least the roots of it. But I had found something in here that was an update. So, you know how you did the superstitions episode? Okay, well, I've found some extra information on them.
Oh.
If you wanted to hear it. So, you know how you said the thing about black cats?
Yeah.
Are bad luck? That was rooted in the belief that they were familiars of witches who would then use their form to roam freely through the streets. And an Englishwoman, Elizabeth Francis, was convicted in 1566 of witchcraft because they claimed that she rewarded her white-spotted cat with blood after it killed her neighbor's cattle. Which, how does a cat even kill a whole cow? Just so you know, the Romans believed that one's health ran in 7-year cycles. So since a mirror contained the viewer's gaze, breaking it trapped them in their current state, thus bringing about years of bad luck. But there were ways to counteract the damage from burying the mirror when the moon was out to pulverizing the glass. So, you know how the 7 years of bad luck if you break a mirror.
Interesting.
A little background info. Anyways, I'm going to do my story now.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, so I got my info from this National Geographic Museum magazine. It was a good read. You should read it. I also got my information from HistoryChannel.com and Wikipedia.
Oh, Wikipedia for me too. I didn't put that one down.
Always credit Wikipedia, guys. It's a given. Just assume that we always said it. Okay, so. On a light note.
Okay.
Alchemy originated in ancient Egypt where chem, K-H-E-M, was a word used in reference to the fertility of the floodplains around the Nile. Taking into consideration that Egyptians believed in life after death, and the strict process they followed to achieve mummification, history sees this as the birthplace of chemical knowledge and the goal of immortality. That's okay. Where they see it originating from. There are 4 time periods to follow. Prehistoric times, which is the beginning of Christian era. That was considered black magic, or pre the beginning of the Christian era. It was referred to as black magic. The beginning of the Christian era to the end of the 17th century, it was alchemy. Then it became known as traditional chemistry, and then, so now it's currently modern chemistry, but alchemy, roots of chemistry. So alchemy was viewed as a serious branch of science and philosophy with 3 goals. 1, transform iron, lead, tin, and copper into gold or silver. You know, never-ending riches. 2, find an elixir for immortality. And 3, fashion a homunculus, or a golem, or a chimera. Homunculus?
Homunculus.
Yes.
A hunky-munculus.
A hunky-munculus. To achieve all 3 goals, you need the Philosopher's Stone. Did you ever watch Full Metal Alchemist?
Yes. I didn't finish it, though.
Do you know the chimera? The guy who was really obsessed with alchemy and making a philosopher's stone, and he made a chimera one time out of his wife who was dying.
Yeah.
And his dog. And then he made one out of his daughter.
The very, very sad stone. The saddest
anime. The reason that almost everyone stopped watching it, like, who did, it was because of that. Yeah. Anyway, so that was a chimera. A lot of alchemy, you know, in that show. Anyways, so...
God, that guy was a dick.
Yeah, that guy fucking sucked.
Most hated person ever.
Yes. So to achieve all 3 goals, you need the philosopher's stone.
The falafel stone.
The falafel stone. Everyone wanted this. The Greeks studied the Physica et Mystica, which is a guide to making gold and silver. The Arabs and Europeans poured through the emerald tablet of Hermes Trismegistus.
Okay.
Which is a book both cultures viewed as a foundation for their alchemic art. Fuck. I've been awake for so long. I got up at 6:30. Collectively, none of them knew where to find it. It was known as either the tincture... And it was known as the tincture and the powder, and discernible only by those learned enough to uncover it. So you had to know enough about alchemy when you ran upon it to know that it was the right thing. Because you could discover it and not even know it and not figure it out. Alchemists experimented with many materials trying to make it. They'd put the materials in a pear-shaped glass flask called the Philosopher's Egg or the Vase of Hermes. They would heat it and then they would observe the color. Black means that the old material died and would be reborn. White means they predicted it would then change to silver. Red, they predicted it would change to gold. These experiments were the precursor to modern chemistry and led to discoveries that were essential to pharmacology, which is the study of medicine, how to administer it, what it is, how much to use, how to make it, blah, blah, blah.
Interesting.
Metallurgy, which is the branch of science and technology concerned with properties of metals and their production and purification. Isaac Newton was a seeker of the stone and laid the foundations for physics. He was fascinated by alchemy and mentioned Nicolas Flamel in his notes. And in 2016, scientists found a manuscript that Newton had copied containing a recipe to concoct the sulfic mercury, which is a substance needed to change metals back to their basic components before their transmutation into gold. No alchemists are recorded ever actually finding the substance except for Nicolas Flamel. Have you heard of him?
It sounds familiar.
You've definitely heard of him. In 1382, Nicolas Flamel claimed to transform lead into gold after decoding an ancient book of alchemy with the help of a Spanish scholar familiar with the mystic Hebrew text known as the Kabbalah. Around this time, he came into considerable wealth, which he then donated to charity. He'd seen the book in a dream. That's how he knew that that was the book he needed to translate. And it's said that with this discovery, he also gained immortality. He died in 1418. So the real question is, where's the Philosopher's Stone now if he discovered it? So you could ask Dumbledore, because in Harry Potter, in the first one, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, he, old friend of Nicolas Flamel, Dumbledore, he entrusts it to Dumbledore because he knows that he'll protect it without wanting to use it. And then Harry finds it, and they have the whole line about the stone where whoever doesn't want it but needs it will have it, all of that. Or you could ask Ed Elric from Full Metal Alchemist, where the, I think the belief had been that, is that because every human has a soul, each human is technically a philosopher's stone, allowing a gifted alchemist to use their soul to fuel transmutations, which shortens their lifespan. But Ed is the only alchemist known to have done it in the show. Hmm. So.
I stopped watching that show.
I stopped watching it too, after the Chimera.
No, not after that.
That was it for me. So we don't know where the stone is. That's my point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But it is the secret to all life.
You said it's the secret to immortality, right?
Immortality, turning regular things into gold or silver, and building a homunculus.
Keanu Reeves has it.
Oh. I knew it. Another good thing to know is the very good series.
Morgan Freeman has it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Morgan Freeman has it.
So, don't mind me.
The other good series, I loved this when I was a teenager and I still have them, so I have to finish reading them, is The Secrets of the Immortal Nicolas Flamel, which is a teen series, very heavy in the fantasy. They do a lot of tie-ins. It's like American Gods, but for teenagers, basically.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's hard to read books like that because it's so hard to keep up with.
Where it's a lot of information. Yeah. I love that shit. World building. Anyways, it's a super powerful series because it's about Nicolas Flamel in the current day, because obviously he didn't die because he's immortal.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's my story.
You. We see you, Keanu Reeves.
We see you, Keanu.
Or Morgan Freeman.
A.K.A. Nicholas.
That was a great story.
Thanks.
Very different stories.
Yes. wildly different stories.
But mayhem, none the same.
But nonetheless.
None
the same. You know the phrase.
You know it.
We don't have to tell you. You know it.
This has been Peachy Keen, guys.
Thanks for joining us on Inauguration Day, but not really, because this comes out way later. But thanks again for joining us.
As always, we love you.
We love you romantically.
We always do this. Or not
if you don't like that.
We always do this. Why do we do this?
We do this for monsters. If you'd like to see photos, just in general, find us on Instagram and Twitter at
Gumshoe Weekly.
You can email us at
gumshoeweekly@gmail.com.
I fucked up.
You did.
You can follow us on Facebook at
Gumshoe Pod.
Fuck.